Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
I think it is unconscionable that they would want to build a mosque here because you're building a shrine to the very ideology that inspired those jihadist attacks.
Why does Comedy Central give such deference to Islam while mocking Christianity? Is it because they confuse the civility of Christianity with weakness?
Go read one of the presidential proclamations about the National Day of Prayer and Kwanzaa and Ramadan, and all of a sudden, Constantine doesn't look like this dead figure of history. He's living and breathing on Pennsylvania Avenue.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel, and I love Issues Etc.
Does it make as much sense as it used to? Marriage made a lot of sense when women were not afforded political rights, when women did not have a firm foot in the workplace door. A marriage made a lot of sense when it was, well, impossible in some cases to be a single mother financially, economically. Marriage made a lot of sense when it was one of those institutions that held the fabric of society together. But does it make as much sense now? If you read Newsweek recently, there's a column in there titled, "I Don't, The Case Against Marriage," to 20-somethings writing why they think it is no longer legally or personally for them necessary. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll start out today's show talking to Wendy Wright about the case against marriage, and then we'll spend the rest of the hour continuing our summer series on women in the Bible. Today, we'll discuss Miriam, that is, sister to Moses and Aaron, with Professor Tom Egger of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon, June the 15th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us at @issuesetc, or post a question or a comment on Miriam in advance of that conversation with Pastor Egger on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Wendy Wright is a regular guest. She's president of Concerned Women for America in Washington, D.C. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
This is what Jessica Bennett and Jesse Ellison write in a recent Newsweek column. They say, 40 years after the feminist movement established our rights in the workplace, a generation after the divorce rate peaked, and a decade after Sex and the City made singledom chic, marriage is, from a legal and practical standpoint anyway, no longer necessary. What's your response?
Well, sadly, the authors of this article have a view of marriage that is, what can you, the spouse, do for me? It's a materialistic view of marriage. And so they reduce marriage down to the reason that women get married is for money, and the reason men get married is for sex. But thankfully, that is not the biblical view of marriage. That is not why God created man and woman to complement one another and to come together in marriage to fulfill, to be the true fulfillment by coming together in marriage. You can tell that they're coming from a rather odd view when they hold up Europe as the prime example of what America ought to follow. In the article, the authors claim that those in Europe are happier, they're less religious, that they view marriage as an outdated institution and that divorce is lower. The authors also overlook the fact that Europe is a dying civilization. They're not having enough children to replace themselves. The religious institutions are being wiped out of society, and therefore they have there's a lack of having a soul in Europe. So I think while this article may reflect the view of a number of people in the United States, it is not a noble and enriching view.
Okay. Are they, in some sense, at least with regard to the data, right, that there's, what did they say, 1,000% jump in the married but cohabiting partners in the last 40 years, that the divorce rate is outrageous, especially for us here in America?
Well, some of their data may be correct. I think some of it is skewed. For example, when we hear about the high divorce rates, the claim of 50% of marriages end in divorce, that is not an accurate statistic. They look at, in that statistic, they look at how many people got married in 1 year, how many people got divorced in 1 year, but that doesn't look at how many people were married prior to that 1 year. So statistics can be manipulated to make whatever point the authors may want to make. But I find that there was one very telling line at the beginning of this article in which they claimed that the TV show Sex and the City made singledom chic. That is, that they claim that that TV show portrayed singledom as something that women especially would want to attain to. Well, in fact, that's not accurate. It's the characters in that show, all of them were longing to be married. They were longing to find a soulmate, to find a man that they could partner with and to be their true complement. Now, the advertisers and others who follow Sex and the City held it up as something different than it was. But I think that just as with statistics can be manipulated, even the examples in our culture can be manipulated to make the point that the authors want to make.
They ask the question, and this goes to another trend in marriage, and that is waiting longer and longer to marry. They say, if you're going to wait, why do it at all? What do we know about late marriage, relatively speaking, to its history? And what do you make of the question?
It is an interesting question, and it does seem that when people marry later, it's hard to say, but it seems as if the marriages are maybe more successful. But there are so many factors to take into account that you can't just reduce it down to that one thing, that if you wait longer, then you're more likely to have a successful marriage. People that are religious are likely to have Christian, are likely to have a better marriage, those who are monogamous. And so there's so many other factors, but I think it's kind of funny for them to say that, because clearly if you use that line, if you're going to wait, why do it at all, and apply that, say, to sex, so the authors wouldn't agree with that at all. I think that this article, while it's interesting, that even the authors themselves say, check back with us in 5 years, we may have changed our minds.
So at least they're willing to admit that their low view of marriage and their kind of despondency about the institution itself may be born of, well, if not simply youth, not having encountered situations in their lives where marriage can be something more than just a way for a man to get sex and a woman to get things paid for.
That's an excellent point. The authors do acknowledge that they are young, that they apparently grew up in broken homes in which they were shuttled back and forth between households, and so they have a very cynical view of marriage. And you make an excellent point that it's very likely that the authors have not witnessed a truly biblical marriage. And what a great call for those of us who are Christians to live out our lives in such a way that others would want to emulate it. For those who are married, what a great example that you can be to others, not only to the children in your household that you're raising up, but your marriage can be a tremendous example for others to want to have as well.
Two final questions then, Wendy. Why, in a nutshell, is marriage still necessary? Not just optional, but a societal necessity.
Well, the obvious one would be children need a married mom and dad, a mom and dad who love and are committed to one another, and all the data points that out, as well as our common sense. But let's get back to our biblical roots. Marriage is the first human relationship that God created. So clearly he intended for this to be in our culture, and he places a high value on it. And there's an intangible in marriage. It may not get borne out in scientific studies, but it's something that is absolutely crucial for a society to survive.
Finally, then, someone at work says, hey, What did you think about the Newsweek magazine column about the case against marriage? How, in a nutshell, should we respond?
That the authors come at marriage from a materialistic standpoint, that they're selecting what data or what cultural indicators to look at. But thankfully, their view is not the biblical view. And when I say thankfully, it's because the biblical view of marriage gives us a noble view of a relationship that God places a high value on. So if someone wants to have a positive and a true view of marriage, go to the Bible. Don't go to Newsweek.
Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to Concerned Women for America at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn to a summer series that we're doing here occasionally on Issues, Etc. We thought, why not talk about women in the Bible? And of course, we talked about Eve to begin with. Then we moved on to the patriarchs, wives and concubines, and today we're going to take up a sister, Miriam. She is famous in three, she kind of falls into the spotlight three times in the book of Exodus. Once at the very beginning, the birth of Moses. Then she appears again right after the Exodus. She sings a famous song by the sea. And then finally, if I'm not mistaken, well, the last story told about her that I think is probably of great significance is that she turns on Moses. Not only her, but Aaron turns on Moses. They both, brother and sister, are undermining him. And as part of the punishment, she is afflicted with leprosy, at least for a time. We'll talk about women in the scripture and Miriam with Professor Tom Egger on the other side of this break. Our call-in number, if you've got questions or comments about Miriam, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us @issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment on Miriam at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Find me a sweet sugar mama with a whole lot of zeros and commas. Don't really care if she loves me. She can even be ugly. I'm gonna marry for money.
What can a view from space teach us about God's care for His creation, His wisdom in ordering the universe, and the goodness of divine providence? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled The Work of His Hands. It's written by astronaut Jeffrey Williams. Colonel Williams spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station. You can purchase The Work of His Hands by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Work of His Hands.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.